And a good Wednesday morning to you, and welcome into the DDC here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody's having a good start to your day. Teresa Walker just tweeted out, driving back to Nashville with a box of Gibson donuts. Safely out of reach, of course. They're in the back seat. Teresa, safe travels back. We'll talk to you at 1 o'clock. She was there at the FedEx Forum last night for the Grizzlies' thriller in their win over the T-Wolves to take a 3-2 lead. So looking forward to that. We got a lot to get into today. We're going to cover a lot of ground, just like we did Monday on the program when we were at the Hermitage Golf Course. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. Guys, how we doing?
Doing
well, guys.
Wonderful. Doing wonderful.
It was a pause, Derek. It was like
you know,
weren't sure.
Yeah. No, I am sure, but, you know, I'm a little concerned here, legitimately concerned, because of what happened last night with losing
Soros.
Okay,
we'll go there. I mean, you've been coming out of the gates hot on this show, so
losing
come out of
Soros,
the gate hot.
Man, I think that's – hopefully it's not as bad as it looked, you know. Anytime you have an injury when no one touches you, that is, you know, that's cause for concern, you know.
Okay, as a professional, a former professional athlete, tell us why.
Because it's usually, in a situation with your knee, is usually you either step wrong or you heard something pop, and it wasn't because someone pushed you, tackled you, grabbed you. You know, twist your leg or anything. It just, you just took a wrong step, and all of a sudden you might have heard something pop. And usually, you know, it's you know, it could be one of two things or one of three things. The first thing I thought was, you know, again, I'm not a doctor, but I've had it happen where I've taken a step, went up, came back down, nobody touched me, and I heard a pop because I, you know, torqued my body in the air a little bit. And it was a torn meniscus. Not to say that that's what it is, but I'm just telling you from experience. So I hope it's not that. I hope it hasn't anything, you know, it doesn't have anything to do with that. Hopefully he can be back before the playoffs start. But, man, he didn't put any weight on that knee. So that's a cause for concern, for me at least.
I can confirm.
I'm right with you. I don't think.
Well, that's just my eyes. My eyes are telling me lower body.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can see it. I mean, we could just go by what we saw on the replay. He skated over to the bench. He got checked by the trainer. And you could see he was maneuvering, you know, his left leg, left side. So it's hard to get specific on what it might have been. But, you know, it didn't take very long to head back. And it looked like as he went to the bench and then back to the tunnel, it was – you know, he was laboring a lot. He, as Derek said, I think that's accurate. He couldn't put much weight, if any, on that side. So I went back and watched the replay to see if I could see anything that maybe we didn't pick up on replays. Like in real time, there was a long stretch. There was a penalty kill right before it. Mm-hmm. And there was the fourth line with Lucic and Richie, real physical guys, and Trevor Lewis. And those guys, you know, they get after it in front of the net. They're knocking people around. There was a lot of physical play right around Soros, but I didn't see anybody really go into him, as best I could tell. Even before you saw
Gill
him
said last night.
Do you think it was the Johansson reached and went into the net?
He noticed something before before the play, though. He had noticed something prior to it. So,
well, I was looking for that, and because I heard you guys talking about it, I didn't see specifically what he might have seen. Maybe it happened even way before I was watching. I just was looking at the sequence, the penalty kill before, and then there was an offensive possession that was threatening with a lot of jamming at the net and bodies colliding in front. You know, it can happen so quick. I may have missed it, but either way, you know, it doesn't matter now. It's just, you know, what's the prognosis? And, you know, we know how hockey goes. You're probably not going to get any info anytime soon. But, you know, it doesn't look like it's just going to be something that he pops up today and everything's fine. It's, you know, you'd be pleasantly surprised if that's the case. You just don't know.
Well, I mean, I felt just like I said last night. I'm not pretending to be John Hines. Nobody's going to ask me. I get no power to weigh in on this decision making. But I mean, who's kidding who? I mean, they've clinched, and you know, he's not playing games 81 and 82. And I don't even know, even if this didn't happen, if he's playing games 81 and 82 in Colorado and Arizona. The big question is going to be, you know, what is it past then? Because the playoffs are going to begin next week, and it's either going to be probably Monday or Tuesday after they finish up the regular season this weekend. And, you know, it's playoff ready, and, you know, the question is he going to be ready? And so John Hines, I think he did say last night, though, obviously he was asked, but didn't he say he didn't know anything last night? He said he hadn't even talked to the trainers, which is pretty standard for coaches to say in a post-game presser. But didn't he say that he might have, I'm hopeful that I'll have news, or something to the effect of, you know, hopefully I'll have some more news tomorrow, which would be today. Did he say that?
The first sign that we're going to see is, you know, does he travel on this last road trip? Because as you said, Darren, they clinched last night. And you know, there were so many roller coaster rides. The last two games, you talk about needing some Tums or whatever you choose for ulcers and things like that. My goodness, the range of emotions that they've gone through. But, you know, I think the first step is, does he tell us the team?
If he travels, it really doesn't.
Well, yes, because the team goes to the first stop on the playoff circuit from the last road
trip.
They will not
home.
Be coming
okay,
home.
Fair
yeah.
Okay.
And that's why I'm at home, because, Darren, I've got to bring my passport. I'm trying to look at weather forecasts. How cold is it going to be in Denver? How cold is it going to be in Calgary? We're going to Arizona. I mean, I got to pack for everything. What am I doing?
I got
bathing suits. I got my winter coat. I got
winter hats.
You might
as well take two suitcases.
What am I doing? Yeah.
How much luggage do you have?
Well, you can't weigh down the plane too much. You gotta streamline. I might be. You know,
you might as well,
you know,
ship some clothes, man.
This is one of my favorite stories from Will Perdue. Will Perdue, the great Vanderbilt player, played for the Bulls, of course, and he said he was a rookie in the NBA, and he was going on a road trip, and he saw Dave Corzine, the veteran center, and all he had was the suit he was wearing, and he had a little small duffel bag, and he was like, Dave, we're going on the road for 5 days. What are you doing? He goes, I got my suit. He goes, what do you mean? You only got one suit? We got to go to this city and that city. He goes, I got Pete, and I got Repeat. He says, I'm just repeating. I said, I'm just going to wear the same clothes. And so I was like,
you're a little bit different situation than the players.
Yeah.
The
players, when you're on the TV, you can't just look real, you know, you can't wear the same suit every game.
You can't go with the Pete and Repeat, man. You can't do it.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that works on TV.
Exactly.
Even if you switched up, like, the tie.
Exactly. You still can't do it.
I still think it's going to, right? It's going to stand out. Like, dang, Willie. Lose his luggage, or what? What's going on? Wasn't that the suit he was wearing last night in Denver?
Oh, man. Yeah, so that's the dilemma here. But we'll see.
Okay.
That's a
fair point. I'm glad you pointed that out. That's the team is staying out on the road. They're not coming home.
Yeah. So now, that doesn't mean he couldn't
go
join
to the
them.
Next destination.
Yeah, that doesn't mean he couldn't join them at some point if he needed a few days here and then could join up before round one started. But, you know, it's probably something that, you know, this has happened last night. They probably have some reevaluation they might be doing this morning. You know, who knows? But I don't know if they'll get an update or not before the team leaves, or maybe tomorrow at the morning skate. I don't know. But, you know, the first sign will be, is he going to go on this first part of the road trip? The good news is now there's no pressure about getting in. The only question is who you're playing. And boy, after last night, it'd be fun to watch these two teams go into a heavyweight matchup for 7 games.
Yeah,
they have to beat out Dallas to do it.
Look, I'm just going to flat out, you know, I said it last night, sign me up. If this is round one of the playoffs, sign me up. Yes, I'm in. I will say it. They're not going to say it, but I I would like to see this as a first-round matchup. I think it's going to be a bloodbath, and it is going to be a whole lot of fun to see how it all plays out. I mean, Calgary is really good, but, I mean, these two games, you know, two games in a week have been fantastic. I mean, mm-hmm. I hate last night's outcome. You know, I mean, who – Willie, you tell me. I mean, we've both been around the team since day one. Have they ever had a game be decided by – well, it wasn't decided, but it went into OT because of a tenth – when was the last time that something was decided by a tenth of a second?
That was – whew.
It's happened. It's happened a few
times.
Wasn't
there like a Forsberg play once where it was like – I don't think it was a tenth of a second.
It was two-tenths of a second. It was against Calgary. It was Mikhail Granlin tied a game with 0.2 on the clock against Calgary. And then Granlin, who scored that goal, comes back in the overtime and scores again to win it. Also, Matthew Tkachuk, if you remember, on Halloween night 2019, scored a between-the-legs buzzer beater at the end of 3-on-3 to win it. So there's been adventures between these two teams that go back a long time. Remember the Erik Nystrom game where he scored four goals and they still lost, in overtime?
5-4.
Yeah.
Didn't they lose 5-4?
So
6-5.
They have these
like
two
that.
Teams. These two teams have a knack. They've never played in the postseason, but they have a knack of having drama. There was a game where Philip Forsberg scored a natural hat trick to bring them back from like 3 or 4-0 down, to give them the lead, and they lost that game in overtime. So it's incredible how these two teams seem to find their way into overtime every time. I don't know. Remember there was a Thanksgiving. There was a night before Thanksgiving, because I'll never forget. I went to do the Boulevard Bolt the next day, and everybody's like, Willie, what happened? Remember the Vegas Golden Knights? I think it was Pacioretty scored with less than a second to go to tie it, and then Vegas won it in overtime. So just the other night, we were talking about it, Darren. Sunday night after the Predators Wild game, San Jose scored with less than a second on the clock to tie the game against Vegas. It's incredible how a play can look like it's dead. A puck goes in the court. When Colton Sissons made a diving block with about 2 seconds left, part of me saying it's over, but part of me saying, wait a minute. You've seen this before. It's not over until you see that green light go on, and it was as close. Now, that one is the closest I've ever seen, Darren. I've seen less than a second. It was 0.2 with Granlin. That's the closest I had seen up until last night, and that one was 0.1. Maybe 0.009. Less on the clock.
Well, these two teams,
but it was
have
in. It was clearly in. There was no dispute whether it was a good goal or not. It was clearly in.
I mean, if you're looking at it, if you're a fan, you're thinking, no, that's not a goal. That's not a goal. But then once they start showing replays, you can tell it was obviously a goal. I thought it was a goal maybe 5 seconds earlier, and it seemed like it hit the top of the net. And I thought that one went in, and it didn't. I guess these teams just have a propensity to play in these types of games where, you know, they come down to the wire or they go into overtime. So it was a good game, physical game. I got the text. He was like, I hope you're watching, D-Mace, because this is a physical game. I'm like, yes, I am. I love it. I'm here for it.
Yeah, I was like, I knew very early on. I was like, we're going to be talking about this. So make sure you're watching this Rocky. I was trying to figure out. In fact, Pete and Hal made the reference on the broadcast late in the first period of the Rocky reference, and I told Hal during first intermission, I was like, "Where?" I'm trying to figure out who's Apollo Creed, you know, who's Clubber Lang. I mean,
I
agree with him.
This is the
is
first
Drago
Rocky.
Drago in there somewhere?
Drago, where is he? I mean, yeah, it was a great reference. All right, we'll come back, continue the discussion on the other side. There's a lot to break down about last night and moving forward. Big week again for the Predators. They'll close out their regular season Thursday and Friday. And then still try to figure out who's going to be their first-round opponent. We'll do that next year on the ESPN 102.5 The Game. It's why I don't hit send until it literally is over. I've learned my lesson. I had the tweet ready to go saying basically what Pete just said. Predators have punched their ticket into the Stanley Cup playoffs and post-game and all that. Ready to go. Just hit send the minute it hits 000. And I had it right there. I had my finger on it, ready to go. That's why you don't just even say with a second or two, you're safe.
You heard Herm's voice, yep. Didn't you?
Oh, yeah. I didn't need to wait 60 seconds. I just needed to wait like 2 seconds. That's what I did.
I'll never forget that one I told you about last time, that last segment with Granlund against the Flames. You look at the replay. Philip Forsberg had the puck behind the net with 0.7. Behind the net. The puck is sitting there with 0.7, and the Predators scored with 0.2. So it's amazing how quick a goal can be scored, how fast that puck moves in the NHL. And that was a great example of it last night. Keith Tkachuk, after that shot was blocked by Sissons, he retrieves the puck behind the net with less than a second and puts it in with 0.1. And it was weird. When you look at the replay, Dante Fabbro brought his stick over. Riddick got his stick over, and the puck went through the smallest hole. It went off. I think Fabbro deflected it, and somehow it snuck through. And you're thinking, how does a guy as big as David Riddick not be able to shut down the hole? But it happens. It happens.
It's well, crazy. It was Matthew. Keith was a great player, but he's just too old to be playing today's game for sure.
No, I guess he wasn't Matthew, on the ice, was he? Matthew was.
No,
yeah.
But Matthew was. And look, he's a tremendous player, but he's full of, you know, a lot of nonsense too. And I can't figure out, Hal and I were talking about this last night, Hal had a pretty good little mini rant last night about, you know, Tkachuk chasing Duchene around the ice. Like, what are you doing, man? Like, honestly, you know, it would be like Lucic, you know, chasing around Rocco Grimaldi on the ice. Like, what are you doing? You know what I mean? Like, are you seriously trying to fight Duchene? What?
So he wants your attention. He wants your attention. Mm-hmm. He's going to get your attention.
Exactly. It's a.
He forces
it's all
you
a
to
game.
Have to try to ignore him or go after him.
It's a game.
He does it. He it is a game. There's no question.
He's trying to get in your head. That's all he's trying to do. And it's a part of it. And you just got to understand it. You know, you try to systematically throughout the game go at one guy or two guys and try to get them out their game for some reason. So,
I know Milan has been playing hockey for a long time at a high level, and he's been well paid over the years. Lucic has been around. He's a big boy, okay? He's a big, imposing presence, and he's always played like this. But I said last night to Hal in postgame, I don't think I know – I've never heard him – you know, I've never really paid attention to a press conference or a scrum or anything – but I kind of, you know, after last night, just watching it, he's always kind of looked like that. So this is not anything new, but I just kind of, going back to the Rocky reference, like I just kind of feel like he sounds like Sly Stallone, you know, in Rocky I, just in the first Rocky. Like I could just see him talking.
After the fight?
Like that, yeah. I could just see him, like, in his locker talking like that. He just, like, look at him. Look at his, like, his face, you know, like his facial expressions and just the look on him. At all times, he just kind of reminds me of Sylvester Stallone and Rocky. Like that's how he would talk.
Do you guys think they were? And I'm sure I know the answer, but do you think the guys were trying to set a tone? Not the Predators, but Calgary, knowing that the Predators more than likely were going to be their first round opponent.
Well,
yes.
It's interesting.
Yes.
I think yes, but then I also thought. Is Sutter going to tell them after the first period, like, hey, guys, we're in. We're not playing for anything. Like, we're cruising to the finish line. Don't get hurt. Don't get tangled up in all this. Like, don't do this the entire game. And it slowed down a little.
But, Darren,
bit.
With
not
a team
really.
With a team like that, when you know you're going to play them again in the playoffs, and it's not like football. Or these one-offs where if you win, you advance no matter what. It's a series. So to me, they were not going to let their foot off the gas pedal because they wanted to show the Predators, this is what you're going to get if this thing goes to full, you know, if it goes to full series. Because if they don't, then they give the Predators this sense of, okay, we can go with them. And you can't switch the light off and on. You just can't. You got to, if you're going to play at a certain level, you got to continue to play at that level. We talk about it in football all the time where a team's 12-0 headed down the end of the season, or 13-0, 14-0. They've got the first, you know, the bye locked up. They're the number one seed. Do you pull your guys, or do you continue to let them stay in rhythm? Well, a lot of teams continue to let guys stay in the rhythm. You know, I think it's the same here where you want to play the way you're going to play in the series. You don't want to give any false sense of, okay, either way, the Predators or Calgary, that, okay, this team can hang with me, or the Predators giving Calgary a false sense of reality that they're just going to run through us, you know? They're just
I could not agree more. Derek, I could not agree more. I believe that's exactly what Daryl Sutter and his mindset is. It always has been the way he's coached. He didn't sit any of his players, even though they're locked in. They couldn't move one way or the other. Darren, I believe that there are some teams and some coaches that would have gone more towards what you're saying and say, look, we got to save our bullets here, man. We got a war coming up. It's a war of attrition, as we know, in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And so we've got to make sure we've got everybody healthy, but not Daryl Sutter. I think they absolutely came out and said, look, this team beat us last week. They've beaten us twice this year. And we're going to show them that, you know, be careful what you wish for if you want to play us in the playoffs.
Isn't Sutter like the hockey's version of Bill Belichick, where he just kind of mumbles?
Slightly. I think there are some. He's crazy like a fox. He is very interesting.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
I haven't heard that one in a long time.
Yeah, that means Willie was about to do his version of pouring it on. He's exactly. Crazy like a fox, but he cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
He comes into a press conference and he doesn't come across as this real sharp guy, right? He's just, you know, he's not quite like Belichick, but he's not there to entertain people in the press conference, although he does have some dry wit. That
doesn't
he throws
he
at
mumble?
You. He's very unique.
He like,
no, it's not really a mumble. No, I would call it more of a growl.
he's growl.
Yeah.
Who's next?
He can get.
He's got a question next.
It'd be
sound like Coach O.
Through some, you'll see it if the Predators play the Flames. You're going to see a lot of Daryl Sutter press conferences. You'll know what I'm talking about. It's very unique, and he's got his thing going, but he comes across as like, what is this guy doing? In fact, when the Kings fired him, I think, you know, he won two Stanley Cups, but I think there were a lot of people that thought, okay, his way of doing things was old school and the game has changed and he's done. And the Flames brought him back. You know, he's got that real old school approach, and he has, to his credit, he has revived the Flames. That was a team that, with a lot of these same guys, couldn't make the playoffs last year. He took over midstream last year and reshaped some things, brought in a couple of guys, and, man, he's got them playing a rugged style with the skill. And so that's a really interesting team. Now, keep in mind, he didn't play his starting goalie last night
again,
either. And he's resting up his starter, who's had a great year. So that's another weapon he has in his toolbox.
We'll come back. Catch up with C-Mace. Of course, he's usually Wednesdays at 1, but you guys will be shutting the door on the plane and heading to Denver for Thursday night's matchup against the Avs tomorrow night. What is that? That's an 8 o'clock start. Is that right? 8 o'clock tomorrow in Denver?
And I believe
then,
so, yeah.
Close out Arizona. I don't have it in front of me. I think it's 8 o'clock in Denver against the Avs. But so C-Mace will join us on the other side as you listen to Darren Donick and Chase and D-Mace, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
It's time!
Shot broken up in front, and what a slick backhand try right in front of Chris Mason. And now the quick pass down the middle, breaking in, and a backhand stop by Chris Mason. And Marlowe with a 2-on-1, a 3-on-1, and what a stop by Mason. Chichu right in front, and what a stop on Ekblom by Mason.
And goal number 3, Chris
Let's talk a little hockey with C-Mace. By the way, you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Back here on the DDC, Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. Chris Mason now joins us. Willie's partner on the television side of Bally Sports. Of course, a former Predator goaltender. C-Mace, that one was not the ending everybody wanted. But, man, these two games against Calgary in the last week have been fun hockey games.
Oh my God, it's been crazy, and we're just saying last night, can you imagine seven straight games of that? It's really unbelievable, and it's probably, in my opinion, the two most physical teams in terms of not only guys that can get out there and hit, get on the forecheck, and not just hit, like just crush people, but also fight. Like everyone, Willie and I were saying, well, McCarron hasn't gone, and you know, this guy hasn't gone. For them, Richie didn't go, and you know, there's a lot of guys that are very capable and don't shy away from all the fighting and everything, and it's nuts. But you look at Sutter, that's Daryl Sutter's team. Like I heard you guys talking before, I was out running some errands and saying that, you know, what is Calgary? They don't have anything to play for. Is Sutter saying that in the dressing room? Nope, absolutely not. He is saying, send a message. You'll play every single game just like that. He wants to intimidate, you know, bully if he can, and try to get in ahead of your opponent because, you know, you could end up playing the team. So that's just the way that's going to go. I mean, this series, if it were to happen, would be absolutely just nuts. In that game last night, you know, that was just a little appetizer if that's the way it ends up shaking out.
I have to believe Edmonton and L.A., especially Edmonton, right, that is just dying to get – you know, out of the first round, just dying to make some sort of run, they would have to be rooting hard for a Nashville-Calgary series, right? Let each other just beat. They want Calgary to get in a very, very, very physical series right out of the gates, I would think.
You know, if it is Nashville-Calgary, they're just going to beat each other up, but if I'm Edmonton, I'm thinking, God, I don't want to play either of those teams, especially Calgary, because, you know, if you want to skill it up, they can skill it up. You know, you look at the star power Edmonton has. Well, Calgary might have more, you know, in a different sort of way, more, the different levels. You know, Tkachuk's 40 goal scorer, and plus he'll fight, and plus he'll agitate, and you'll be in your face all night. You know, they have a lot of those kind of guys. They've got really, you know, big, tough, strong defensemen who are going to be hard on, you know, those types of players. McDavid, Drysdale, but having said that, their speed might offset, you know, the lack of mobility on the back end for the Flames. But yeah, anybody who, you know, whoever it is, you want them to go, you know, and have a big battle. But, you know, it's going to be tough. And, you know, if the Preds end up with Colorado, wow, watch out. You talk about a team that's capable of putting a hurt on somebody. That's one, I think, if the Preds get in that situation, that's when you want to impose yourself on them and turn that into a bit of a bully war there, that kind of trench warfare, because to me that's maybe the only way that you can beat them if you're Nashville, is to turn it into that kind of series where they added toughness. They have Manson, they got a couple guys that'll play that way, but they just, you know, they, I don't think they would thrive in that type of a situation.
David Rittich certainly has had an interesting 4 days with the Preds, hasn't he? Starting in Tampa, having to relieve UC 2 minutes into the third period. That's always a weird spot to go into as a goaltender that's been sitting there watching the whole night. Then the Minnesota game the very next night, and the crazy play with Eriksson Ek in the second period. And then last night. And then we all sit and wait, right, to hear what the news is with UC Soros.
Yeah, and you know, like looking at that, to me, that's all good stuff for Rittich, because you're getting reps, you're getting in the situations unexpected, you're getting your mind engaged, the, you know, intensity level is ramping up, and you know, you're getting games at the end of the day. You know, you just, anything, nothing else really duplicates it except for actually getting in the actual game and getting those types of reps. So that's a good sign, and that's a good thing, you know, depending on what the outcome is with Juice. It's good that he's had those situations and that he's got in the net, because, you know, if you're gonna have to rely on him down the stretch and into the playoffs, depending on what happens, you know, you don't want somebody that's been sitting there for, you know, 10 or 15 games and not having seen any game time. So it's good that he's had those scenarios kind of play out like that.
We'll talk with Chris Mason, one half of the television play-by-play. The other half is Willie Donick, as we know. Now, Chris, should we be concerned if indeed Soros can't, you know, say if he can't play the first game or the second game? We don't know, but hypothetically speaking, should we be concerned with the goalie moving forward? Because he has lost his last three. I know, granted, last night wasn't his fault. He came in late. But the two prior, he didn't get the win. So should we be concerned about that?
Yeah, I think so. I think you've got to be concerned if you lose a player like UC Soros, arguably, you know, your most valuable player when it comes down to it. You know, I'm not taking anything away from the OC Duchene, Forsberg, those type of guys, but you know, if you're going to go against some of the competition, either Colorado or Calgary, you know, to me, if I look at if the Preds have a chance of beating one of those teams, your goaltender is going to have a major say in the outcome of the series. And Soros is one of those goalies that's proven that he can do that. He can go on, you know, big stretches and absolutely dominate, you know, teams that are overpowering and outplaying you. And you know, David Rittich he's been great in his role. You know, he's collected a lot of points, and he's a big reason why, you know, the Preds are on the inside right now and not on the outside looking in. You know, those games that he played and a couple of the steal victories that he had, and when Juice is on COVID, you know, he's a big reason they're here now. But, you know, essentially, if you look at, you know, the lack of games that he's played maybe, and it's just tough when you're in that role, and, you know, he's not really, you know, a proven entity in the playoffs, it is concerning. But, again, it's an opportunity, you know, for him to step up, take the bull by the horns, for the guys to rally around the situation. That's all you can do, right? You know, you've been there. Sometimes you lose your top players, or you know, you got a different quarterback thrown to you. You know what? Step it up, boys. Everyone's got to chip in that much harder, and you know, kind of rally around that fact that you're losing it. And you see a lot of guys when they're put into the spotlight or they're getting that opportunity, step up to the plate and make something happen. And if that is the case and Soros isn't available, then David Rittich's going to have to do it. I'm sure they'll call Connor Ingram up, and one of those guys, that's just all speculation, just me assuming, one of those guys is going to have to get the job done, but it'll be David Rittich's opportunity first.
Should the approach be moving forward is to continue to, you know, go with the lines we've been going with, continue to, you know, pressure the last two opponents in Colorado and Arizona and not sort of take your foot off the gas pedal? I know injury can happen. We saw one last night with Soros, but I think you want to head into the playoffs, you know, hitting on all cylinders.
Yeah, I think they played really well. They defended well. Again, I think Calgary, you know, the shots were a little misleading, and when they decided to crank it up and turn it up and they got on the power play a little too much, that was the only time. I didn't think they had a ton of, you know, breakaway, odd man rush, those types of situations. I know they had a bigger number of shots, but I still thought the Preds did a really good job in the middle of the ice and kind of neutralizing their top guys. But I think you have to find the chemistry. So I think you have to roll out whatever line is going to be the best line, because I still think there's question marks on that second line. I thought Cunningham was better. I thought Tomasino, there were stretches in the game where, you know, he was dynamic and he was making plays, and you know, it's maybe a little bit of a wake-up call for him, you know, to be playing against that tough of competition and the physicality and just the magnitude of that game. But I thought as the game went on, I thought he did a really good job and he got some good looks and made some good plays. So I think you have to roll whatever line, you know, you're going to roll into the playoffs or to get in and try to get that first wild card spot. But again, you know, once that will change probably game to game, depending on the situation and how what happens with Dallas, if the Preds are able to win. But you got to get the right combos going before the real thing.
Chris Mason is with us, and we will see the next chapter tonight while the Predators are idle, with the Dallas Stars hosting Arizona. So any point for the Stars officially eliminates Vegas, who still is alive, but a lot would have to happen for them to even, because they do have a tiebreaker over the Stars. But Vegas has to win the last two games in regulation. The Stars would have to get 0 points out of it. So we might know more tonight. But Mace, if Dallas takes care of Arizona, by the way, Arizona did win in Minnesota last night. And so nothing is a given for certain. But Mace, that's going to be the race now with Dallas and Nashville with 95 points each. Wild card one and wild card two. Dallas hosts Arizona. And then they've got one more home game after that, and it's Anaheim. And so you got to look at Dallas probably very heavily favored to win both games. So Nashville is going to have to keep pace. They do have the tiebreaker over the Stars, but man, there's a tall order coming up here.
Yeah. You know, at the end of the day, you know, there's nothing you can do about what Dallas does. And you're right. They are heavily favored, but in this league, if you don't come out and put your best foot forward, no matter who the opponent is, and you overlook somebody, they just had a big emotional game, against Vegas, and then they went on that West Coast swing, and they lost all three. And so, you know, if from their standpoint, if you're looking at these opponents and say, oh, here we go, boys, 4 points in the bank, you know, I know they're not, but sometimes subconsciously you're kind of thinking that it, you don't have to quite play, and we've seen that this season at the same level when you have a lesser opponent. So, and those two teams too. I've been on teams outside of the playoff. It's miserable, but when you get to the last couple of games and you've been in those dog days of trying to get through the season, you find hope, and you know to go play. All right, guys, let's finish off the season on a good note. We'll go out there. Let's try to ruin Dallas's season and Nashville season or whatever you want to play that spoiler role and finish the season feeling good. So they're going to be hungry, and they've got something to play for in that regard. And Nashville, I mean, that Colorado game, that's going to be tough. That's a tough building. You know, you have the altitude and everything, which is a thing. No question about it. I'm sure D-Mace can tell you when you play at the Mile High, yes, at the Mile High Stadium. It's different. So, and it's been a while since the Preds have been there. And obviously, not even that aside, you got probably the most dangerous team in the National Hockey League. So that's going to be a tough one. But when the CL plays out, it's crazy, crazy.
Well, Mace, thanks a lot for coming on with us, and we'll see you very shortly. Don't forget your passport, because our journey could go several different directions, and it might be north of the border.
Oh, it's packed, Big Bill. I got her in there already, buddy, but thank you.
All right. And with the AirPods, too. That was an issue before, right? You got the AirPods?
Yep, I got them. I packed most before I got on this time, so I wasn't scrambling like an idiot.
Okay, good to know. We look out for each other. All right, we'll talk to you. We'll see you on the plane, and we'll have Darren Donick and Chase continue in just a moment here on 102.5 The Game.
Nashville Live tonight, final installment of the year. When 6 o'clock hour. Keep that in mind on these airwaves. You can also watch it on the game's Twitch, Facebook page, YouTube, and Twitter. Nashville Live every week, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. I was talking with Kevin Warwick, who owns Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. He's a huge Preds fan. And he, like everybody else, is like, "What? You know, what's the deal with UC Saros?" So everybody talking this morning about the Preds game last night and looking ahead. And we appreciate Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. They are huge Preds fans, and everything they do for this radio station. Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue, same with them. Speaking of that, Tim Hasselbeck will join us at high noon. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you. So a lot of people on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. In fact, Joe says, hey, if UC Saros can't play, who do you start in game one? Do you start David Rittich? Do you start Connor Ingram? I mean, that's what everybody's talking about. Of course, a lot of people having fun last night. Probably some of them were serious, and I'm sure they were, and I get it. I'm sure some of it was kind of half serious. Some were really serious, and some were just having fun. But a lot of people were talking about Pecorine maybe pulling a Mike Fisher.
Hey.
When is the last time Pekka probably put the pads on?
That is a great
probably
question.
That last game we saw.
Against
I
Carolina?
Don't think he's played. Yeah.
Yeah,
so
hey, we see some strange things
aside,
now.
I saw people on Twitter saying, bring Askarov over and throw him in there. That's not happening. But Connor Ingram is a guy that you're probably going to hear about here if this is significant. And look, the way UC Saros went off the ice, I think you can't help but be worried. I'm worried. But, you know, you have to wait and see. There's probably some evaluation that's being done this morning, I would imagine, to see how he feels when he woke up today. Maybe get him examined, you know, that sort of thing. But in the meantime, you know how to how the general managers work. You would have to think you're going to play it safe. You would want to do the best you can to win these last two games. But if there's any question about Saros' health, that automatically would mean Connor Ingram will come up, if for nothing else, to back up. But you can absolutely take a look at him. He's had an excellent year for Milwaukee. He's in the plans long term. But I think David Riddick would get the first crack for sure. And, you know, it's different backing up than all of a sudden if you know you're going to be in there for a few games. This is all, you know, hypothetical. And I think you might see him go to a better level. I can't think of a tougher set of circumstances he came into last night. I mean, that's awfully tough. And you'd love to see him close it out. That would have been a great story. And he came within a tenth of a second of doing that. But I do think you might see him play at a better level if he got to play four or five straight games.
Well, I think you got to go with Riddick until you can't go with him anymore, assuming that Saros won't be there for you. That's like taking your backup quarterback and your practice squad quarterback and saying, well, we're going to mix in the backup, I mean, the practice squad quarterback with the backup quarterback. No, you roll with the backup quarterback until you can't roll with him no more. And the practice squad guy has been elevated, but we don't expect to use him. You know, I know Riddick hadn't, you know, besides this one, I don't put this on him, but this last two outings, I mean, you know, they were not wins. I think they did get a point in one of them, but they were not wins. So I'm with you, Willie. I think once he gets in that, he gets comfortable, because there's a difference between knowing you're going to be the guy until the foreseeable future than, you know, replacing the guy in game. There's a big difference. Now your focus switches, you know. I believe that Riddick was prepared to go in if he had to, but there's nothing like being prepared and going in at the beginning of the game, knowing all, you know, 2 days prior or 3 days prior, you are the guy. So he knows that he's the guy against Colorado, and I'm sure he's going to be the guy against Arizona. I'm not saying that Saros won't play in the playoffs, but it would be safe the way he limped off. It would be safe to say, hey, listen, let's let Riddick play the last two games so Saros can get enough rest and treatment as he possibly can to come back for the first round.
You could also do Riddick for a game and then Ingram for a game if you want it. And remember, they will know what Dallas does tonight. So what Dallas does tonight might dictate a little bit of your game plan.
They just need a point, right? Mm-hmm. A point.
Dallas needs a point to clinch a playoff spot and eliminate Vegas. Nashville is in either way, but the question is, how bad do you want to push to try to finish ahead of Dallas and play the Flames rather than Colorado? And it's really a second level. It's not just Flames versus Avalanche. Remember, as we've talked about before, you get into a bracket that includes Edmonton and L.A., and with all due respect to those two teams, I think the tougher bracket by far is Colorado, Minnesota, and St. Louis. And so that's what's at stake there if you can hold off Dallas. But Dallas, as we've said, has got two games at home they'll be heavily favored to win. So we'll see what the prognosis is on Saros. The timetable is this. Last night was Tuesday. The playoffs will begin Monday, Tuesday next week, right? So you got about a week. And then you've got home games, you know, more like a week and a half away. So is it 1 week? Is it 2 weeks? Or is it something long term that is going to knock him out for a while? I mean, that's what they have to try and determine as they put this game plan together.
Dallas is literally the only team left in the league that has not. That's the only spot left hanging right now, Dallas and Vegas. Everybody else is in the playoffs in the Western Conference and the Eastern Conference, and all Dallas has to do is get a point, and they are in. But they are currently tied with Nashville, both teams with two games remaining, and they both have 95 points. But, of course, the Predators do own the row, so they would get the tiebreaker. We'll come back, start hour number two. We'll continue with the discussion. We'll go to Houston at the bottom of the second hour, figure out, kind of get a pulse of, we did this in Jacksonville yesterday, what the Texans are thinking. Tim Hasselbeck at noon, Teresa Walker at 1 o'clock, who was at the FedEx Forum at courtside, or I'm sorry, second row last night for the Grizzlies thriller. Those are things on tap here on the DDC ESPN 102.5 The Game.